You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. My Bible subtitles our gospel lesson today, The Wilderness Temptation of Jesus. And in the midst of this fierce temptation, we see that Jesus is able to remain obedient to God in a way that nobody else can. Because ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, human nature has been such that given the right temptation at the wrong moment, every single one of us is capable of giving in. Like the little girl who was disciplined by her mother for kicking her little brother and then pulling his hair. "Sally," her mother said, "why'd you let the devil make you kick your brother and pull his hair?" "The devil definitely made me kick him," said Sally, "but pulling his hair, that was my idea." And because when it comes right down to it, we're all in the same boat with little Sally, I'd like for us to briefly consider this morning what we can learn from Jesus with how he resisted temptation. And to jump right into this, please don't tune me out as we approach this subject, because you can no longer adhere to a childhood image of the devil as a red guy with horns and a pitchfork, because what we're addressing here is an evil which is far more real and subtle and pervasive. The first thing we observe in this showdown between Christ and Satan is that the devil is smart enough to attack where there might be weakness. Jesus had been fasting 40 days. He was hungry. Therefore, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread," because the devil is good at tempting us when we are in a weakened state. "I was hungry. I was lonely. We needed the money." So it comes as no surprise, does it, that the tempter came to Jesus when he was hungry, saying, "Go ahead, turn this stone into bread." But the Lord quoted from Deuteronomy, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," and refused him. Next, the devil tempted Christ by offering him all the authority and glory of the kingdoms of the world if he only bowed down and worship him, making it a temptation from the very beginning for Jesus to obtain the glory without the suffering, to obtain the crown without first enduring the cross. But he refused him again, this time quoting the first commandment, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." A third time, the devil tempted him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this great height and prove how God will save you from harm." Again, the devil suggests a kind of superhuman display of power rather than the way of suffering servant. And Jesus refuses him a third time, again, quoting Scripture, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Now, notice that in all three temptation attempts, Jesus answered the tempter by quoting Scripture, inspiring Martin Luther to write in that great hymn, "One little word shall fell him." But as powerful and as inspiring as all of that is, there is still a problem for each of us. You and I are not Jesus. In other words, there isn't a person in church today who hasn't given in to temptation, because we're all weak. But the great paradox of our faith is that the sooner we accept this, the stronger we'll be. I love the way Mark's gospel describes the dinner conversation between Christ and the disciples during the Last Supper. Jesus had just declared that one of them was being tempted to betray him. the most horrific thing imaginable. But do you remember the disciples' reaction? Because it was a flash of insight into the weakness of our human nature. They didn't start pointing fingers at one another saying, "Who would do such a contemptible thing? I bet it's you, Thomas." No. It says they were sorrowful and began to ask him one after the other, "Is it me, Lord? Is it me?" Because the apostles understood that under the right circumstances, they had it within them to deny their Lord. Truth is, there isn't a person here today who could just say no if the right temptation were to come along at the wrong moment. And again, the sooner we recognize this, the better. Because we have a far better chance of protecting ourselves if we first realize that we're vulnerable. In fact, it's when we're overconfident that we're in greatest danger. St. Paul said, "If you think you are standing firm, take heed, lest you fall." The old Sunday school hymn has it right. We are weak, but he is strong. So, what are we to do when temptations come our way, which they will? What are we to do? Run! Seriously, get out of there fast. You can't face the devil down like Jesus did, so run for your life. And obviously, I'm speaking both literally and figuratively, because sometimes it's a thought or an emotion that we need to escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "With every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. So don't do battle with the devil." A good example for us is the Old Testament figure Joseph. Remember Jacob's favorite son who had risen to a prominent position in Potiphar's house? Potiphar, who was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. Potiphar's wife kept trying to make a move on poor Joseph. He couldn't help the fact that he was so handsome. But remember what Joseph did? He ran away so fast that he left his garment behind. He unfortunately ended up in prison anyway, but you get the point. Be like Joseph. If it tempts you, run for your life. Stay away from bad influence and don't put yourself in compromising situations. Take heed lest you fall. I stumbled upon a quote when preparing the sermon from a guy who lives out west. He wrote, "Rattlesnakes are fairly common where I live, and I have a simple 2-point program for handling them: shun and avoid." It's as simple as that. You don't need much insight to figure out what to do if something is dangerous. As a diamondback rattler, you don't mess around. Shun and avoid. And so it is that on this first Sunday in Lent, we recognize the great contrast between Christ, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, and us, before the vicious, seductive, and catastrophic powers of our ancient foe. And I do hope that we can leave here this morning with three things. First, I hope that we can recognize the danger of not being on guard. I believe it was C.S. Lewis who said that the very first work of the devil is to convince us that he doesn't exist. Certainly, Jesus and the apostles, and God knows Job, all acknowledged the existence of personified evil, the Satan or the devil. And if you and I want to have any chance of resisting his evil attacks, we must first believe that he is for real. We are most vulnerable when we don't even realize that we're under attack. Secondly, I hope that we can leave here today with the confidence that through the mercies of God, we are always given a way out. With every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. That's a biblical promise. But third, and most importantly, I pray that we can look at all of this through the lens of the cross, with full knowledge that when we fall to temptation, if we confess our sins, God is merciful and just to forgive us our sins, because we will all fall. And for this reason, we are all in desperate need of the Savior. Who said it better than Martin Luther, quoting again from that great hymn that we'll sing as we process out in just a little bit? Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And win the battle he did. And it seems fitting to close by praying again the words of our opening collect. Remaining seated, let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted of Satan, make speed to help thy servants who are assaulted by manifold temptations. And as thou knowest their several infirmities, let each one find thee mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.